Well, to God be the glory in the house. I felt the anointing as it broke in, and I felt the Lord is here, and I'm so thankful to the Lord. I'm going to read from Isaiah 40 and 28. And the word of God says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He would not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weak, to the weary, and increases the power of the weak. Even the youth grow tired and weary, and the young man stumbles and falls. But those who hope in the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and walk and never be faint." We come into a place today, it is no longer strength of man that's going to get us through this. The giants are in the land. 12 men were sent to spy by Moses on the giants. 2 men saw the midgets, and 10 men saw the giants. We come into a place where we have to choose what we're going to see. The choice is yours. I was seeking the word, and I asked the Lord, "What is the word for the church today?" He said, "Tell them this." Excuse me. I talk to things. "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." He said, "Tell the church this. Fear is evil. Fear of the Lord is good. Have no fear, it is evil. Perfect love casts out fear. Do not let fear of this world in your heart. Fear destroys hope. It cannot exist where love is, or where faith is. They could not exist together. Fear is a curse of the world. Man afraid of poverty, loneliness, unemployment, and sickness. Nation is afraid of nation. Fight fear as you would fight plague." Excuse my accent. "Turn it out of your lives and home. Fight singles, fight together. Never inspire fear. It is evil, but fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom." We come into the place where we have no other escape. They come from the east and they come from the west. They come from Canada and they come from Mexico and they come from any other place seeking to destroy this nation. But the word said, "It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." The word of God says, "Those who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Behold, the tomb was empty. Humanity went to the tomb. He was out of here. He went somewhere else. Excuse my New York accent. He's the risen God. All humanity starts still trying to figure out who is God. And he said, "Look unto me. If you are in me and I am in you, ask anything in my name and I will give it to you." Today we could not fight for victory. If you are fighting for victory, you already lost. You're fighting from defeat. We fight from victory. Because as he is risen, he declared it so. 2 men was on his right and his left. One said, "Remember me, Lord, in your kingdom." And he said, "You shall be with me today in paradise." We come into a place, and I will read from the book of Joel. America is in trouble. America is sick. The church is sick. We're having so many trouble in the church that the church is divided. Denomination calling each other different things. We're competing with one another. We're not competing for the world. Our battle's outside the church. It's not for the church that there's people sitting here. And for you people, we must lift up the arms of our pastors in the cities. They could not do their work lest we lift up their arms. And you go, how am I going to do this? I have a job. You have a talent. Each one was given measure of talents. And those talents today, they account for something. And what you bring before your pastors, you make him strong in a city. Whatever it may be, encourage him in the name of the Lord. Our battle today, in the year 796 and 835, in between those measures, the people of Judah became very prosperous. Prosperity became powerful. People were making six figures. They bought big SUVs. Some of them have double humps. People start building altars in their home for their God. They have their bear hole thingy. And now they have the big plasma TV. My plasma is bigger than yours. We start seeing what's happening, and we start building altar before different gods, the god of the sports. We bring the food, we break food right there, junk food. There we celebrate our gods. Woo! We beat each other up. What happened? What happened to Judah? They were fighting over their teams, other than God. They became very complacent. What's in it for me? The church today is having a problem. What's in it for me? Every person is asking this. The other part is they took things for granted. Now God become the problem. You did this. You allowed this. You. God becomes the enemy. God is our best friend. They became self-centered. Marriages start breaking up. Husband and wife divorcing each other. They're looking for something better somewhere else. Children became orphans because their mother and fathers don't have time for them, because the God of work became greater than God of heaven and earth. We start prostituting our life for our jobs. Idolatry became the norm. Their wisdom and knowledge became higher than God. We don't need you, God. We can create things now. We can clone things. We can birth things. We can make our mind. God says, go get your own dirts. Go find what I've done for you. They worship the blessings and not the blessed one. God sent them the prophet Joel. He said, wake up and smell the hummus. Because God is sending the armies, and the armies coming from the east and the west and north and the south, and will surround this city and will carry your children and grandchildren and take them to Persia. And they will come like the locusts. They will inhabit the land and destroy everything. Guess what we're fighting today? Islam. They are coming here for a purpose to change our very own ways. They're going over after our children and our grandchildren. They're going to carry them away. We are living the same hour. And the Lord said to them, here's the rules of engagement. Return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Render your heart, not your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and relent from sending calamity. King Hezekiah was an awesome king. What was the talent of King Hezekiah? King Hezekiah was so good. You say, Kamal, we didn't come to hear this. We came to hear something else. Talk about terrorism. We have to find our way through, because we could not get around without understanding. I'm reading from 2 Kings and 17 and 5. And the word of God says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all kings of Judah. Either before him or after him, he held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands of the Lord had been given by Moses, and the Lord was with him, and he was successful in whatever he undertook. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We come to the place today, we don't need your fat cows. We don't need what you're going to offer on the throne. We need your heart. The great sacrifice is to circumcise your heart for the Lord. You say, I have all kind of problems, and my problem is I'm addicted to secret things. Gambling, alcohol, wife abuse, child abuse. I'm addicted to sport. I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted to this. He said, come to me and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy. We are yoked today in America, not with one yoke of the enemy. We have many yokes. The enemy has multiply yoked us. That we, if we let go of one thing, the other thing drag us. The enemy is like a cowboy. He's trying to rope and drive what? The herds to be slaughtered. The cows are going to be eaten at the end of the day. Jesus Christ in Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He lead me in the path of righteousness. He lead me to still water. He restores my soul. Though I may walk in the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You have made a table for me in the presence of my enemy. The Lord is gentle and kind, and he doesn't force himself on humanity. When the Persian army came and surrounded Israel, there were 180,000. Their king was a mighty king, and he was such a cocky king that he thought that he's going to conquer Israel. Hezekiah fell on his knees. He fell on his face, and he cried out before the Lord. He tore his clothing, and he put dirt all over his head, and he said, we have sinned before you. We have fell out of your grace. Mighty God, come and rescue us. We have no other God, no other Savior. God of the army of Israel, God of hosts, save us today. And he cried bitterly, the word of God says. And as he cried, he sent his czars to Isaiah. I'm sorry, his leaders. That was done on purpose. And as his leaders went to Isaiah, and they cried before Isaiah, Isaiah said, go back home. The Lord heard the heart of the king. We come into a place where we choose our kings, where we have to stand for righteousness and holiness. We come to a place in our life where the heart of God, we choose God, we don't choose men. Saul was a man. He looked good, he felt good, he spoke good, he had six packs. On a chart, everything looked good, great resume. David was a little boy, he was a shepherd boy, he was after the sheep, he stunk, he smelled like the sheep. But when the bear came in, he seized him and he killed him. When the lion came in, he took him down. He ain't scared of the bears and the lions. I'm from southern Beirut. I speak with a southern accent. At night when King Hezekiah went to sleep, God sent one angel. Everybody say one angel. He killed 180,000 soldiers. Mr. King woke up in the morning and he lost his feather. And he ran away for his life. And his sons grabbed him and beheaded him. The battle belonged to the Lord. What are you afraid of? God is not interested in mega churches to go there and start screaming, holy, holy, holy. No, he's interested in those who will fall on their face and cry, save us, Abba, Father, we need you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we call upon you. Lord Jesus, intercede before the Father for our behalf. This nation desires to hear the voice of the Father in such hour like this. Open our eyes and ears of our understanding that we may know your voice. And a voice stranger we do not desire, hear nor follow. Circumcise your heart and choose and take a stand. For the time is coming where we stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he says, what have you done with the talents I've given you? I buried mine. I saved myself. Woo-hoo-hoo.
cast him out. The other said, I doubled him more. The other one said, I doubled it. He said, give him more. To those who are more given, more will be given. And those who will hide their things, more will be taken from them. Your life doesn't belong to you. You are owned by God. Your body, your hair, your eyes, your belly, your stomach, your teeth, your finances, your wife, your children, your husband does not belong to you. All of it belongs to God. We are walking as borrowed human. What are you going to do with the talents and the gift that God given you? The time has come where God is calling his people, the Nehemiah people, to come and stand on a wall, work with one hand and the spear in the other hand, and say, today on my shift, no one will have the city. And build the gates and build a wall and take a stand and change everything. Thus says a terrorist. Well, wait a second. Kamal, you're an ex-terrorist. What do you know about this? You're barely Christian. I love him. Yes, I'm not afraid to say I'm a foofy Christian. I so love him. I have his picture on my phone. Many times my wife said, put the phone down, honey. Spend some time with us. I'm just looking at his picture. There's a love story over there. Our husband who will fight for us. Why are we looking at the circumstances, all of it the way they are? In my home, three-room house, 14 brothers and sisters, I'm going to summarize my life story because I want to focus on the filling of Islam. Tonight is a good night to take notes. And if you don't, are we recording this, Pastor? It's a must that you take the CD because you're going to go ahead and burn more copy and give it to other people. You have full permission to multiply this. There in my home, I knew the rules of engagement that is to live for Allah and die for Allah. We didn't have a SpongeBob SquarePants. We didn't have Xbox. We didn't have any of this. We had Allah. We didn't have TV. Radio was like, you know, when we turn on the radio, like everybody go, ooh, it's coming through a box. Wow. And my dad was, he's in charge of a radio. We still have those radios still until this day, the thing. And so what happened there, I was learning what's my purpose in life. My mom said, you're so stupid. One day you will die for the sake of Allah. She didn't say it like this. She said, you're so pure at heart. And I learned later on, she said, you're so dumb that one day you will die for it. She said, my son, if you kill a Jew, your hand will light up before the throne of Allah. Killing of the Jews is a must. Israel is a nation out of the United States of America. If we don't fight for Israel, God is going to judge us. He will bless those who will bless them. He will curse those who will curse them. If we don't pray for Israel and stand for Israel, God's going to hold us because he commended us. He grafted us into them. Why? Because the promises are from them. Well, wait a second, Kamal. We're talking about terrorism. Yes, we are. And wires on the floor. Stop it. So what happened here is I was learning how to be a killer right there by my mother commission. From the Quran, I learned the Holy Quran in Islam. These material here that we have on the floor, they're educational material. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. This Quran is made specifically for American people to understand how the Muslim, what their holy book is saying exactly. Not the one it's sold in a library or on Amazon where it's just so spiced so perfectly for American. This will tell you the heart of Islam, how and where and what. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, had an encounter one day. The rules over there, it was in the days of Jahiliyyah. Everybody say Jahiliyyah. I will pray for you. This is before Islam came about. And in days of Jahiliyyah, the Muslim went around Kaaba 7 times, which is they still do. The Arab went around Kaaba 7 times. And that is the cubicle thing that the Muslim, the black rock, that they pray over around it 7 times. Today, they still do the same thing. Nothing has changed except the name of God changed from 360 gods to one God. And that God today, he still sits on one of the corner, eastern corner of Kaaba, and that's the black stone that fell out of heaven. And I saw Satan falling like lightning, the word of God says. Are you listening to me? There, Muhammad was fasting and praying, just like the Muslim doing today. And he went into the desert outside of Mecca, and he was drawn to a cave. In that cave, he had an encounter. The encounter was the spirit of light. Everybody say spirit of light. Why we say those? Why I'm asking you to repeat those? Because spirit of light is not God. It pretend he is God. There, the spirit talked to him, said, Muhammad, iqra, Muhammad, read. And Muhammad says, وَمَا أَنَا بِقَارِئِ, what do I read? He said, Muhammad, iqra, the second time. And he said to him, what do I read? The third time, he said the same thing to him. When Muhammad didn't know what happened, the spirit inhabited him. Every time al-wahi, which is the anointing, fell on Muhammad, he was seized and he vomited and he moved and he threw a fit. And then the word of God came upon him. Umar ibn al-Khattab, his second caliphate, was carrying on his shoulder or the spine on the enemy, and the anointing fell on Muhammad, and he could not carry him because he was inhabited by a spirit. Allah gave Muhammad the Quran. Quran means reading. So it's a commandment to the Muslim to read the Quran. The only way God will accept for the Muslim is when they read in Arabic. The minority, the smallest number of the Muslim are Arab. The rest, all of them, Indonesian, Indian, African, and what so have you. A lot of them don't speak Arabic, so they read it without understanding. Many of the Muslims don't know what they're dealing with. The Imam explained to them everything. A lot of them are simple-hearted, simple, you know, in all their way because they want to live a right life. Many Muslims are good people. They have no desire to go and kill. But this new rise of Muslim Brotherhood and all this chaos, it's happening for such time as this because God said so in the Bible. And Babylon will rise. It's happening. All these things must happen that God may be glorified. It's his story. It's not our story. There in my home, I was learning from the Quran. And we were learning as we were reciting the Quran after my mother. And the Holy Quran says this. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًا يَرَى. Those who do small or big good things, they will be judged by Allah. My dad held the scale and he said, based on this, you go to heaven or hell. The Quran went on and he said, وَكُلُّ مِنْكُمْ وَرِدُهَا. Every Muslim will have to pass by hell, including Muhammad himself. Muhammad and his bed of death. You know, Islam will teach today that he died like Moses, that God took him. He was poisoned. And he was dying. And he said, I fear death. That's registered, all of it recorded in Islamic teaching. But the imams do not teach this. They don't tell those things. And the woman who poisoned him, he kidnapped, he took her after he destroyed her people, Bani Qurayza, the Jewish people. He beheaded them. Over 800 men were beheaded. The beheading is a spirit that separates the head from the body. The body from the head. Who are we? We are the body. And who is he? He's the head. That spirit separate and create orphan spirits. As a matter of fact, in Islam, you could not adopt children. Why? Because Muhammad fell in love with his adopted son's wife. And he married her. And Allah came and protected him. He said, no adoption in Islam. So adoption is against the law. Adoption is the most important things in the kingdom of God because God adopted people. Jesus Christ was adopted. All of us were adopted. And when that spirit is severed, what happened is our life is severed. We don't have clue. Why? Because he could not speak to us anymore. And this spirit, it isolates until it destroys. My dad says, he read from the Quran, he said, there's scripture in the Quran, he says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءً عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. The word of God says, when somebody speaks, somebody needs to translate. Sorry. What happened is, he said, those who died for the sake of Allah as martyrs, they are alive and prospering. And my dad gave the first class that I came to see the picture as a young child. And he said, when you die as a martyr, you become holy and you enter heaven. Because your first drop of your blood, you become sanctified. And the rules of engagement is you could not die for yourself, you know, just kill yourself, but to kill as many as you can. 9/11, perfect example. Few men killed over 3,000. Many people said nearly 3,000. Women and children today, they are orphaned because of that spirit. Many people are still scarred until this day. They killed the spirit. So what happened is, he said, you become holy. The second drop of your blood, you will have 72 version, and with every version, you have 72 version. Some hadith says 5,000. Some hadith said this. They all of them fight against one another, but the right one, it's Sahih al-Bukhari wa Muslim. That's what I concentrate on, which is the most accurate Sahih. So now what happened is, Muhammad was there. Muhammad commanded his Muslim brothers, his follower, is to fight for the sake of Allah. And that's the great jihad. And we'll talk about jihad, how many levels of jihad. There's four levels. So therefore what happened, my dad says, and you enter heaven, and in heaven you have rivers of alcohol, you have rivers of honey, rivers of milk, flying beds. You look at the bird, it falls down, cooked, roasted, barbecued, and grilled. And what happened is, you get all that you want. It's on the house. Everything is legal illegal on earth is legal in heaven. Everything in God, it's completely different. We are spirit with Him. We are not over there about the food. We can glutton all the way we want in here. God knows I fight my stomach every day. And so what happened is, over there, the heaven is specific and it's only for men, it's not for women. Women will inherit, she will go back to her husband, even if she died as a martyr, because I said to my dad, I said, Dad, my mother, she's only one and you have a problem with her. How are you going to control 72 version with 72 with everyone? That's a lot of headache. Oh, my dad knew who my mother is. Every time he talked, he figured she's going to talk back. And so what happened is, I said to him, if my mom died as a martyr, will she make it to heaven and get 72 male version? My dad was blacksmith. He can rip the paint from the wall. His hand, he did not use electricity. He used sledgehammer and fire. His hand, it has a layer. It's yellow and this thick and it's rigid all over. He can grab things out of the oven with his hand. That day I was transformed. Golf 101, number 5. $6 million man. I was changed. I see it until this day. You never... In Islam, the highest sin in Islam is to question Allah or to come and say, why God said that? You become almost an infidel. Why? Because it's kufr. You could not question Islam. If you question Islam, then you are not a Muslim. We knew the rules of engagement right there. My mother was a Turkish. Her father was Turkish. He ran from the Ottoman Empire in 1924 when it fell. It was destroyed by Atabasha. Atabasha said, no one will live anymore by the sword. We live like all other humanity. And now what happened is she is instilling the same spirit that her father brought with him. We do not fight flesh and blood, but what? And the power of the air in high places. These spirits are real. We are constantly in a warfare. He said, put on the full armor of God, and when you take stand, take stand. He said so too. So what happened is, now I'm going out and I'm going to work. My dad got me out of school. I'm working. I'm 7 years old. I start my first job. I'm working as a plumber. Over there, they beat you up. School, work. It's different. It's not like here. And here, if you just look at smile at a child in a supermarket, pedophile, take him to jail. You can't. Over there, you can beat that child and do whatever you want and get away with it. It is your full right. That's in the teaching of Islam. something is happening there. So what happened is, one day I was chased by a group of people. They beat me up. It's in my book. Yes, and I talk about my book, and I talk about all this because how terrorism are recruited, how they created, how the terrorists are happening every day. Everybody must understand the story. We do this for two purposes. The first one is to educate the people, which is my people perish for the lack of knowledge. The second one, yes, we make money out of this, and yes, we pay the bills with it. And we are not ashamed to say that because our enemies say we do it for the money. What money? I was an executive of IT making handsome money. And I'm doing this today. I'm going like, in the last 23 months, 24 months, we changed three different places from state to state to state. We live underground. You say, why do you do this? Do you like to travel so much? No, they love us to death. That's a different story. Because when you leave Islam, you are commanded to be killed. And especially when you come with somebody like me, you are doubly commanded to be killed. And they have fatwa on your head. What is fatwa? Declaration of Islamic law against you for beheading of your head or taking your life or dead. In Europe, they could not talk against Islam. Why? Because Islam is supreme. Europe is losing its identity. Churches are vacated, are empty, and on Sundays you have concert. Boys and girls solicit each other in the churches. It became a discotheque. Other churches became museums. They are so beautiful to go visit them. Wow, beautiful glass. Oh, wow, beautiful cross. The light is on, but no one is home. There, I became part of the Muslim Brotherhood. They took me under their arm. I went to my first university. In the mosque, we were learning what are the rules of engagement according to Islam. The Muslim Brotherhood came in 1928, after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. They came specifically to restore the caliphate. What is the caliphate? Is the caliph who inherit Muhammad, and he will take with him exactly what Muhammad did and what Muhammad commanded and the great commission of Muhammad and Islam. Yes, Islam has a great commission. It's slightly different than the Christian great commission. The great commission of Christianity, he said, go and do what? Love them. The other one says, Muhammad says, in the hadith, he said, "Inni umartu an qatil al-shu'ub." I have been commanded to fight the people of the world until everyone says, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Until everyone surrendered to say, there's no God but Allah, Muhammad, his prophet. It's his word. He said, if they don't concede to you, their women, their children, their home, their finances, their building, their streets, the government belong to you, Muslim. It's an inheritance. You go like, why are they going after this? Because it's the legal rights. Because they're commanded by Allah himself. It's a little bit different than the Great Commission. There, we were learning how to sabotage, how to become part of European civilization. Why? Because we want to bring that civilization. We were jealous of them. We were angry with them. How dare them exceed and excel before Islam? So therefore, our job is to bring those states down. Today in Europe, Europe is no longer the same. If you look outside Paris, you find Islamic settlement, Germany, England. Even the armies and the military could not enter those areas, only for Muslims. Coming to America in 3Ds, to your neighborhood, very soon. If we don't pray and seek his face very soon. I want to play the first DVD, please. Best. Thank you. Thank you. this is your constitution. Your constitution was founded on a word of God, the Bible. Our forefather, they looked all over the world to find out how they can constitute the United States of America. They look into the Middle East, into the Islamic laws and bylaws. They look into the African laws. They looked into Europe. They looked all over, and they found nothing sufficient. But then they looked into the Bible. And in the Bible, they found what God, how he constituted the heaven and earth. It was done for liberty. It is for freedom I have set you free. And they chose something for you so powerful. And that is based on God's laws and bylaws. Your constitution is not man-made, although the Muslim says your constitution is man-made. That's why they have to take Europe down and the United States of America down, because everything is man-made. On the contrary, it's not. It's God-made. You have something to be very proud of. Your constitution is from God himself. Liberty, pursuit of happiness, freedom of speech, freedom of thoughts, all your amendments, all your articles is to empower the people. It's a government for the people, by the people, of what? The people. God loved the people, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so the people may have life and life abundantly. And when you don't understand what country you live in, what your constitution is saying, you are missing on the whole things, because the stake of Muslims is your constitution is enslavement, because in Islam it is destructive. It's against laws of Allah. Liberty, pursuit of happiness, freedom of speech, freedom of thoughts. You could not have your own. You have to abide in Allah and Allah alone. If you have your own, then you are kafir. So therefore, you could not be that man. You know. So therefore, all your legal rights in Islam, it's against Islam. Unless you become Muslim. That's a different story. We can stop this whole thing and we can have peace in the United States of America. Everybody can become Muslim. And we call it over, and we have no problem. We'll celebrate with the Muslim all over the world. And that's what Islam is trying to establish, what's a called Ummah. Ummah is one world order under Allah. And that spirit is leading this. It'll be brought by the Khalif, the Caliphate, and the Caliphate, he is the inheritor of Muhammad. And the first thing he will declare Ummah, and Ummah, after it takes place, then the Islamic army will arise from all over the world to withstand all the enemies that they are not Muslims. You say, Kamal, come on, give me a break. There is no such a thing. Have you read the history? There's a book, it's called Tears of Islam. Over 270 million people worldwide been killed by the sword of Islam. India, 80 million people were slain by the sword of Islam. 80 million. 80 million. Egypt, Turkey, Ethiopia, Lebanon, Syria. All these were Christian land. By the sword, they were changed. Today, it has not changed. Jihad is very important things. You say, tell me about jihad. This is very important place. In Islam, there's five pillars. The first one is called Shahada, to say there's no God but Allah, Muhammad, his prophet, and you are Muslim. The second one is called Salat, which is praying five times. You know, and the accuse is that we don't pray enough. By the Muslim, we only pray, you know, like on Sunday. No, as a Christian, we live in him. It's a relationship, and it's constant worship, and it's constant prayers. We pray all the time. It's not five times a day. And then it comes to Siyam, which is the month of Ramadan where they fast. And then it comes to Zakat, which is the alms, 2.5% of all that they have, they must give once a year. A lot of this is commanded by the Caliphate is to go into jihad. Big percentage of this goes into raising up the armies of Islam. Terrorism today is, a lot of it is part of zakat, come from zakat. Then it comes to Hajj. You see, the Muslim want to establish Sharia law in America. If Sharia law is legal, then they can raise legal funds for terrorism. Are you listening to me? Then it comes to Hajj. Hajj is the pilgrimage when they go to Mecca and they still butchering the sheep, free of blemish, for their sins. While all mankind sinned, God realized that the humanity are not going to be able to free the human. So therefore, he realized you know, God knew that Muhammad was a sinner. He was born out of Adam. Every prophet that was born on earth is a sinner. All Adam children are sinner. God sent his son from heaven to die for humanity because he was free from sin. And nobody can free humanity except the living God himself. Your Christianity is amazing. If the people, if the Muslim understand what you have, they will fight you for it. They will take you, take it away, and they will become Christians. But the word of God says the God of this world has blinded them, lest the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ reach them. Who is the gospel of Jesus Christ? You are the gospel. If you're waiting for help anywhere else, you missed it. It's not going to come. You are it. You are the help. You are God's children. You are the Ark of the Covenant. You are the glory of God. You are the Word of God. You are the Spirit of God. You are walking in the name that is above all name. You are the ambassadors of God. And if you do not take stand for the truth, by the truth, then God help us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything shall be added unto you. And the first thing, we are girt ourselves with the truth of Jesus Christ. Are you upset, sir? The sixth pillar, in Islam there's no six pillars, there are only five. The sixth invisible pillar, it's called jihad. You know, the Muslim fights you and they tell you that, you know, jihad does not exist in Islam. They will argue with you on all this because the first level of jihad, this is a very important place to take note, it's called spiritual struggle. This is when a Muslim struggle spiritually to become better Muslim. But that's only 3% of the entire jihad. That's only the cluster from outside. Because the three elements of jihad, the true jihad, the first one's called al-qalam, which is political jihad. And the way they change things is by arguing with the people of the city. Making a place for theirself. Start debating things. Start coming to become part of the faith movement. Although they don't assimilate to it, they try to assimilate it to them. So what happened is they start changing things. And they start exceedingly go out and about to change the world with this. The second one, the second most important with this, it is... it's called al-saif, which is, it's war, it's jihad, it's 9/11. And I'm not going to talk about this because you know what happened here. And I don't know how America forgot that yet. The last one is the most important one. It's called al-kitman. Al-kitman is the stealth silent jihad that moves like a cancer in the world and changed the world from the inside out. You say, Muslim came here just on 9/11. No, our first group came in 1962 to America to change America. The Muslim Brotherhood arrived to the shore of America in 1962. Their group gave it to our group. We came here to take it from them and move forward with it. While America slept, while America tried to thrive for a better job, better life, better this, the cancer grew. These are the four elements of jihad, and everybody must understand this. Any Muslim will hear this, will tell you, he may be telling you the truth, but I don't believe in this. Did Allah commanded those? Yes, he did. Well, in Islam, if you don't follow Allah, then you're going to hell. Are you trying to lie to me or Allah is lying to you? No. In Islam, there is a doctrine called al-taqiyah. Al-taqiyah is where the Muslims are commanded to lie to their enemy. The head of care, Council American Islamic Relation, Ahmed himself, care, they do not care about America. He said to his people, he said, Al-harbu khuda, war is a deception. He's a head, he's one of the Muslim Brotherhood. He is coming to the United States of America to war against America. He said to his people, war is a deception. When we listen to him in the United States here, in the civic centers, in Texas, in Oklahoma, in Florida, he was declaring, Mahmoud al-Alamoudi said the same thing, speaking Arabic and English. It's not in tongue. So with this, what happened is, they are here for one purpose. You say, is Al-Taqiyya part of Islam? Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, commanded his people to go and spy in the name of Allah. It's in a book in the Quran, it's called Al-Ahzab. This is when he was fighting his cousins. He's fighting his tribes because they shunned him out of Mecca. They said, we don't need Islam. So what happened? He went to Medina and he created the first Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda was the first one built on earth, was by Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam. And it happened in Medina. And what happened? He raised the army and he came and he sent his spies. They said, will you kill people like us if we go to lie about you? Because to win their truth, what happened? We have to lie about you. He said, whatever you say in the name of Allah, for the glory of Muhammad and Islam, it is totally forgiven. In Islam, there is two kind of sins. There's white sin and black sin. The black sin is when you lied about yourself. We say, I'm Michael Jackson. Do the moonwalk or whatever that is. And you're not Michael Jackson. What happened? You're a liar and this is against you. The other one, it's white lie. It's when you lie for the sake of Allah and forsake Islam to advance Islamization of Islam in a nation. Isn't that right, brother? He's a Muslim brotherhood at one time. You see another Kamal sitting over there. Amen. And there are millions like this of us. Millions. All over the United States of America and the world. Just like I. And Jay, where is Jay? Oh, Jay is up there. He's another brother. He's a Muslim. He's a former Muslim. They're all over. We are called MBBs. It's not a game. Don't buy it for Christmas. Muslim background believers. Therefore, that's commended, and we came here to the United States for this purpose. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood, the whole group said, you know, the word of God could not only be succeeded by the word, it has to be by the sword. The whole group of Muslim Brotherhood, after Abu Yusuf and Abu Hamza came to the mosque in Beirut, where I was attending the mosque, what happened? They said, it's the power of the sword goes with the word, hand in hand. So what happened? You say, come on. Where, what book did you read this? Well, look at the Saudi flag. It says, there's no peace, which is the green. But by saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, there's no God but Allah, Muhammad his prophet. And directly under this, there is a sword. If you don't receive this, then this is your portion. That's the Saudi government. You go like, it's in front of us. So now, we were learning how to establish Islam in your civilization, how to obtain the American citizenship. It's very important to us to cross the borders or to become as students learning English, and there we can marry your girls at the universities on purpose. We were learning this at the mosque. We're learning about the First Amendment and why we must break the First Amendment. We could not penetrate the United States of America unless that freedom of speech is broken. If Sharia law become part of the United States of America, your First Amendment will be flushed down the sewer. You will not be able to talk truth anytime. You will be captured, you will be thrown in jail. You say, Kamal, can you give me a proof? Google Europe. Anyone who talks against Islam is penalized financially and sent to jail. It's happening. America is the final frontier. If America falls, if the United States of America change and it falls, the freedom of the world will be gone completely because there's no one will stand for freedom in the world. Islam fear United States of America. But they have not discovered the bride of Christ yet, that if she come to pray, if she come to know her part of this whole thing. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and they seek my face and return from their wicked ways, then they will hear from heaven, we will forgive their sins and we will hear the land, declares the Lord. We come into place, there is no other place. They come from the east and the west and north and the south. I say to you, do not be afraid. We got them surrounded. Because every place you shoot, you're gonna bring them down. Don't look at your enemy. Look at the God of the armies of Israel. Declare his glory. Let God arise and let his enemy be scattered. And let the righteous be glad. And let those who rise against him be put to shame, declares the Lord. play the second DVD. This is, will give you a heartburn. I have Tums outside on the table. 5 cents a piece.
Research. In order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself. And there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only 1 million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8, England 1.6, Greece 1.3, Germany 1.3, Italy 1.2, Spain 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities, such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million. A 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim. And in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's 1 out of 5 Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic. In just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated 1/3 of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away. The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 of those immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world. This is a call to action.
The world growth goes at such high speed, it's amazing that Islam is surpassing the world growth by 0.6%. Islam today is only 22% of the whole world. Christianity today is 33% of the whole world, 33.3%. Last year, every 2.5 seconds, a man or woman came to Christ all over the world. There are records, shows between 7 million, 9 million, you know, people came to Christ. On Al Jazeera TV, there was a meeting with a Muslim imam, and he was in charge of the Horn of Africa and the growth of Islam in it. And he said, "We're having a phenomenon that Africa used to be a Muslim continent, today is shifting and becoming a Christian continent." Africa is. And so the jihadists are so afraid, and you see Al-Shabaab, Al-Muhajirun, Jama'at al-Islamiyah are fighting. Who are these people? They're offshoot from the Muslim Brotherhood, include CARE, Council of American Islamic Relations, including ISNA. And that's why they want to shut up somebody like me. By killing the messenger, killing his character, killing everything he's talking about, they can stop him from talking about the truth. I'm going to tell you something, Christians, and here's the truth. God loves the Muslims. Jesus Christ died for the Muslims. Jesus died for Muhammad himself, the prophet of Islam. If we hate the Muslims, we become terrorists ourselves. Because the Muslims are good people at heart. They're generous. They're very, very good, except when it comes to Islam. Those who are rooted in Islam, which is the Islamist,
they become violent and they want to change the world, and they are not the majority, they are the minority, but nevertheless, that's not what my war is against. Today I stand to fight Islamism. Islamisms, socialisms, communisms, fascisms, Nazisms, all of them are isms, God. They have the same philosophy, the same heart to destroy humanity and subjugate the people to it, to its laws and bylaws and enslave humanity. These are all the same religion. They have the same philosophy, the same heart. You say, Kamal, you just talk about the Muslims. Yes, the Muslims are God people. God created the Muslim for in his time when he spoke to Ishmael in the desert, to his mother, Hagar. He told her, I will bless him because he was the offspring of Abraham. Was he the promised son? No, he was not. He was born out of slave. When Sarah bore Isaac, she was 100 years old. Out of her dead womb, raisin brand womb, what happened? Came a young man, and he was powerful in God. God defy things, you know, because it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. The spirit of God is what changes things. We got to be in tune with God himself. We could not focus, you know. The other day I was speaking at this church and these Saudi men came all over and sat up front and they try and they said, well, Kamal, you people dance and you sing and you celebrate your God with the drums and the flute and this. Isn't that destructive? I mean, God is not somebody that you play the music for. You go to the bathroom, he said, you see people praying in the bathroom. They take the Bible with them to the bathroom. Isn't that illegal? I'm going, you didn't see it, my brothers. God is not looking at the physical. Because what happened is when God sent, when he brought the Jews, what happened? He brought the law with them, and the law subjugated them. They lived and died by the law. Jesus, God sent humanity, Jesus Christ, to break the spirit of the law. He said, now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit is life in Christ Jesus that set me free from the law of sin and death. And so what happened here, Islam came and brought bondage back again. Now, if you don't live by the law, you die by the law. Why they don't want freedom? Because they could not see it. We become the light of God. He said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Do not hide it. He said, you are the salt of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, you become dirt. You're good for nothing, not even for Mexican food. What happened is we could not be anything but be the living God that speak the life of God. I said to them, this is not about what you do in the flesh. Because God checks the heart, and he checks the heart daily. And whatever the heart does, God judges the heart by its own intention. Amen. You can wash all you want. You can pray all you want. And when you see a woman, you go, woo. In Islam, if you sinned and you say, forgive me, Allah, he'll forgive you. But if you sin again, he will bring what you sinned before and a new sin, and he added all together. You're in trouble. You got no place to go. Checkmate, dude. That was Australian. This is a very important part. Islam, when it comes at the beginning, when they're about 2% to 5%, they are peaceful. When they enter a culture, they are totally peaceful. They tell you, we worship the same God. We believe in the same thing. They will tell you we're even Christian. We're the same thing, but we have Allah, you know, we have Muhammad, you have Jesus. They will tell you this up front. Now, when they change from that 5%, become 8 to 10%, what happened? They will start changing everything from within. What happened is they start changing the culture and start asking for self ruling. They start asking for Sharia law. They start asking for all this. When they change from 15% to 20%, they start become transformed, become a military. Are you listening to me? And when they change from that, you go like, is this happening? Look at Europe. The European countries, the government could not enter the Muslim neighborhood today. Why? Because the Islamists would not allow them. They have their own police, their own military, their own laws, bylaws, settlement inside government. They split the culture. And what happened is, when they become 20 to 40%, you can expect rioting, jihadist army, bombing, intimidating. It's happening all over. Look what's happening in Nigeria today. Look what's happening all over, you know, in Africa. They lose in Africa, they're fighting. They're trying to intimidate Africa back to war. These are very, very important things. In Islam, there's a dogma. This dogma, it's a doctrine in Islam. It's called al-wala' wal-bara'ah. Al-wala' wal-bara'ah, this is very important foundation for Islam, is to love what Allah and Muhammad loved and to hate what Allah and Muhammad hated. So therefore, as a Muslim, and they are practicing Islam and living in Islam, they must follow the doctrine. Al-wala' wal-bara'ah. If you live outside of it, you are not Muslim. When I was a radical Muslim, these Muslims that they did not choose to fight, we consider them just as bad as the infidel. We harassed them. We pushed them out of their comfort zone. This is what we did to them because they were not true Islam, because true Islam said otherwise. So you tell me, who are the true Islam Muslim people? I'll tell you, the jihadist. Because anyone tells you, I'm moderate, I don't believe in this, they either decided they're not going to do it, they either lied, or either they're not telling you the truth, or whatever you want to call it. We come into a place, we have to look everything. Why they... Here's the thing. Islam is a government. The government is led by Sharia law. What is Sharia law? This is very important class right here. This book is called Sharia Law for Non-Muslim. Every American must read this book. Every American. Why? Because it tells you what Sharia law and the heart of Sharia law. Sharia law is made from three components. It's called the trilogy. Just like you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they have something similar to this, but different trilogy. The trilogy is created from three components. The first one is the Quran. Quran is only 14% of Sharia law. Only 14%. You say, I thought you said it's a government. Isn't Allah gave the government to the Muslims? Only 14% given to Islam from the Quran. The second part, it's called the hadith. The hadith is the tradition of Muhammad. This is what Muhammad said, do and do not do. It became equal to Allah saying. It's equal in the same glory and power. It's equal to become a law equal to the Quran. The same spirit that led Islam, it led Muhammad to exalt himself, the same level of Allah, that same spirit. So what happened is, the seerah is the biography of Muhammad. These two are called the sunnah of Islam. The sunnah is the what Muhammad did. These are the entire Sharia law, man-made by Muhammad. They said, well, Muhammad got his things from Allah. Well, a lot of his tradition and everything came from pre-Islam, from the Bedouin desert where he lived before. All of it is laws and bylaw, pre-existed Islam. As a matter of fact, his father, his name was Abdullah, the slave of Allah. Allah pre-existed Islam. Are you listening to me? They say, we worship the same God of Ibrahim. We are the same, Islam, Christians, and Jews. No, we are not the same. We do not worship the same God. They tell you we worship the same God, but we do not. There are two differences. When God adopted his children, when God still refusing his children. This one gave his blood. This one here still taking blood. What peace? This God says, I so love the world. This one here in the hadith, Muhammad says, if the whole world was worth a net like to him, he'd have destroyed it time and time and time again. This God sent his son. This one chose an orphan man. His mother died when he was 6 years old. His father died before he was born. You say, Kamal, you told us you love the Muslim and not to hate the Muslim. Yes, Jesus said, It's been told to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you the truth. Love your enemy and pray for those who hate you and bless those who spitefully use you. Because the word of God is through love. And if we hate the Muslim, we become terrorists ourselves. And what happened? The love of God would change humanity, not the sword of men. And the reason why we expose all this, so we can pray. When we pray, he said, the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous man. 16 of you knew that. We come into place where we must engage God according to his word. Because in the beginning he said, he spoke the word, and the word was spoken, and the heaven and the earth were established, and he created us in his image. Why God want to destroy his image? Why he want to destroy the people he created? Why he changed his mind? First he's this and now he's that. God is not a man that he should lie. He did not change his mind. Men changed their mind, and they blamed God for it. Kamal, aren't you afraid for your life? Absolutely. But there's a life after this life. And that day we have to stand before the holies of holies. If you have no relationship with your God, Islam have no relationship with the God. Islam has no intercessor. They have no engagement. What's been said from the time Muhammad came until now, it is the same. This one, we have a living God, the living word that still bear fruit, and we hear from our God. We pray for healing, miracles take place. We pray for truth. We pray for breakthrough. God, hear his people. His name is Jehovah Shammah, the God that hear. He is not that God that he does not hear or talk. This God made a table for his people in the presence of their enemy. This God, his people still making a table for him. His people start fighting. Kill Kamal. Destroy Kamal. Anyone that talk against Islam, why they could not come and speak about it? Islam is a government. Islam is not a country. Islam is a nation, are led by Sharia law. The biography of Muhammad, everything Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, did, the Muslim can do the same thing. So he married several women, and he had several concubines, and he enslaved many women after he killed their families. This is legal right for Muslims. And he sold them in slavery, and he bought them in slavery, and he did many things in slavery for it. Today, the doctrine of women, how to enslave the woman. Woman is a second citizen in Islam. She is not equal to the man. She is a second citizen. Women, we need you to step to the forefront and start learning how to fight for the Muslim women's rights. Doctrine for slavery still exists in Islam. Doctrine of slavery is part of the doctrine of Islam. It's legal rights to enslave. I can tell you what happened at the kings and rulers of this of the Muslim country, what I've seen with my own eyes. So when Muhammad beheaded the Jewish people, the Bani Qurayza tribe, it's legal for the Muslim to behead. When he destroyed nation, it's legal for the Muslim to destroy nations. The tradition, on the other hand, these are commandments. And these are commandments, they are so high. The only way they can translate what this is, there is in the fiqh, you know, men and women will come and weigh, I mean men, not women, no women, God forbid, sorry. Oop, take it back. Men, there's no place for the woman there. What happened is they come and weigh the word of Allah, the seerah and the hadith, and they come with a recipe. This is how things are translated. So what happened in Islam, in Sharia law, it has every level of government, of military, of politics, of propaganda, of civic, of every level of government is part of Islam. In the United States of America, they said about 48 to 52% of Muslim Americans, they said, are loyalty to Allah first and second to America. So if something happened in the United States of America, they will side with Islam first before they side with America. This is why we saw them down in the, you know, the American, you know, spring down in New York, and everybody supporting these people, lifting these people arms. Why are you supporting those? Because they want this country to be weakened so they can excel and exceed. Because terrorism only thrives in a point of, in a world, in the atmosphere of terrorism where chaos is taking place. It does not take place where things are healthy. Are you listening to me? Are you really listening to me? Some of you are just like this. Dinner must have been good. The Quran that we have in here is must be read, and so this here in the Hadith. And we're making a tape on this very soon to explain how they work together. With the PLO, at the time they used to be called Fatah. I shot my first AK, I was 7 years old. I went on my first mission to Israel, I was 7 years old. We went through the Golan Heights. The second mission, I was 8 years old. And we want all children. The highest commodity in Islam today for terrorism is young men and women. Young men, I'm sorry. Take it back. What happened is young men will and should die because they become martyrs. Let me tell you about the story. I recruited my next door neighbor. His name is Muhammad. I told his mom, I'll bring him back alive. I promised that I will. And one day when we went over there to through the Golan Heights, and we went inside the mountains, and we went inside Israel, and what happened is they were waiting for us. And it was an ambush. They hit us with everything. And when they hit us with everything, Muhammad took shrapnel, severed his esophagus, went through his spinal cord, and Muhammad hit the ground. And I cried, Muhammad, not you. I promised your mom to bring you back alive. Muhammad was in a different world. That day, all the kids, the blood of the lamb and the sheep of the shepherds, all of them and the blood of the kids were mixed together. They were innocent kids. You say, how did you survive? I was standing there, I filled my pants.